Thank you very much. Take your Bibles and join me in turning to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 is where we'll be this morning. I'm glad that when I was 12 years old, God did a wonderful thing for me. I don't know when it happened for you, but I trust that it has. And if it hasn't, it can happen. And I'm so glad that you're here this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to begin reading Hebrews chapter 12. Begin reading with me here in verse number 5. I'll read, you listen along. It says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye were without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." This morning I want to preach to you a message that I have entitled, "When God Gives a Whoopin'." When I was a kid growing up, I knew the difference between a spanking and a whooping. My mom gave a spanking. My dad gave a whooping. I distinctly remember the difference. Now, I realize that I'm speaking in a realm that's very controversial among a younger generation today. It's sad to say, but I believe that there are many people in our country, they have developed a very unbiblical attitude when it comes to the rearing of children, and it comes, if I could say it, the disciplining of children. I know of people that are good people that they are sometimes repulsed by the idea of disciplining a child. They say, "Well, you know, I just don't believe in that." Well, listen, I want to just encourage you to think biblically for a few moments. By way of introduction, I want to tell you, never does the Bible condone child abuse, but the Bible does condone discipline. And one of the reasons we're seeing in our society today what's happening among our children is we see a lack of discipline. Now, again, I want to implore you, this is not what I'm about to tell you. I did not say this, God did. All right? And so hence, if you're offended, just let's all walk out of here this morning honest and say, "Well, at least I'm offended at what God said." You see, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 13 and verse 24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Now again, please understand, God said that, I didn't. I'm telling you what God said. God said the person that withholds discipline from his child, in rather strong language, hateth him. But the one that loves him will at times discipline that child. Proverbs 19 and verse 18, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." You see, chastening is not a very pleasant experience, but nonetheless, the Bible says you as a parent, listen, you go ahead and do that in a biblical fashion anyway. Don't give up just because of their crying. Now, all of us, listen, we have something in common. We were children at some point in life, all right? None of us were created beings like Adam. You know, all of a sudden you're creating an adult. All of us were children at one time, and we know how we played that game, hoping that crying would get us out of the discipline. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 13, withhold not correction from the child. If thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now again, the Bible never condones child abuse, but when it says beating him with the rod, it's talking about applying the Board of Education to the seat of their learning. Do you understand? But in our day and time, that kind of Bible instruction is looked down upon even by some in churches. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's important by way of introduction to point out the Bible method of discipline when it comes to a parent with children, and here's why. Because God uses the same exact picture in Hebrews chapter 12 of God Almighty with His children. And so what am I saying? I'm saying for Christians here that say, well, I'm not going to discipline my children because I just don't believe it's right in society's day. Listen, when you do that, you're cheapening the illustration that God uses in Hebrews chapter 12. Because you know what the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12? It tells us this, that God is the perfect disciplinarian, and He knows how to get the attention of His children. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to remind you this morning that if you're a child of God, and God has been dealing in your heart, He's trying to get you to walk a certain way, and you resist Him, I'm here as a messenger to tell you God knows how to get your attention, and I want you to hear for the next few moments of what happens when God gives a whooping. Now I want to begin by first of all showing you a forgotten truth. Verse number 5, the writer of Hebrews says, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children? He said, here's something that's important, and you have forgotten it. Now, the older I get, the more I'm learning that it's easier to forget. Now, instead of thinking it's just by the fact that I have my mind's getting older, I'm just going to chalk it up to I just know more things. And when you know more things, then you're more liable to forget. So I'm not going to chalk it up to old age. I'm just going to chalk it up to the abundance of knowledge that I have. The more you know, you're liable to lose something. But here you find that the writer of Hebrews says you've forgotten something. You've forgotten the exhortation. And he says, here's what you've forgotten. He said, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. You know, the writer of Hebrews says, my son. You know what he's doing? He's pointing out a relationship. Let me tell you this thing. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have entered into a relationship with God. It's not just some mere formality where we sit on padded pews and we open hymnals and we sing the same number of songs. We hear a message and we leave just going through ritual. Let me tell you, ritualism kills us. But when we realize that we have a relationship with God Almighty as one of His children, it ought to change our perspective. And He says, my son. You ever heard anybody make this statement, say, don't treat me like a child? You know, I've heard my own children sometimes. You have three siblings, they're going after each other, and one of them says, don't treat me like a baby. Don't treat me like a child. I remember one time I was in a playground, a 13-year-old girl. I was just a kid. 13-year-old girl. We were playing in the playground. One of the boys ticked her off. She put her hands on her hips, and she said, I just want you to know I'm 13 years old. I'm a woman. You say, what'd y'all do? When she turned around, we laughed. Well, you're just a kid, just like the rest of us. You know, we don't like being treated by children, being treated like children, but really, in essence, with a holy, omnipotent God, if you're a child of God, you are one of His children. And don't despise being treated like a child when it comes to God. You know why? Because God loves His children, and God will always do best for His children. But be reminded of a relationship. You're here and you say, preacher, I know I'm not where I ought to be with the Lord. Listen to me. If you're a child of God, you're one of His children, and God's going to treat you like you're one of His children. John 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, here it is, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When Samuel was singing, God did a wonderful thing for me, it reminded me of when I became a child of God. Listen, I wasn't born a child of God. I was born a child of disobedience. I was born a child of rebellion, but when I was 12 years old, I was birthed into the family of God. That day, when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received Him and I became one of God's children. But He says, oh, you've forgotten, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. He talks about a relationship. But in this forgotten truth, not only does He talk about a relationship, He talks about a reaction. He says, my son, here it is, despise not. You know, usually when discipline comes into your life and mine, the first reaction's not the best one. Usually as a kid growing up, when I was disciplined, my first reaction was pain. But beyond that, in your heart, sometimes there's a temptation to despise. Now, I want to say something to every child that may be in this room this morning. Listen, when you are disciplined, there's something that arises in your heart, and instead of saying, boy, I know mom and dad love me, we ball up the fist of our hearts and we despise it. And the writer of Hebrews says, listen, when God disciplines you, despise, don't despise it. Don't faint. He says, listen, don't despise and let your heart well up in anger, and neither should you faint and say, oh, I'd be better off dead. This is just the end of it. No, God doesn't administer discipline to you to drive us to despair. God doesn't give us discipline to cause us to think there's no hope. God is doing it because He's treating us as children, and He wants to make us better. But I'll tell you, a forgotten truth in Christianity today is the fact that God whips His children. We forget that we're His son, and we think that we can live any way we want. Folks, I am telling you, as the child of God, God is our Father. He chastens those whom He loves, and you can't forget it. So number one, a forgotten truth. But number two, I want you to see that it's a faithful truth. We find that in verse 6. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth everyone whom He receiveth, scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. It's a faithful truth. Let me ask you a question. What's the motivation when God disciplines a child? What's the motivation of it? Now, we human beings, our motivations are not always pure. I'm sure there's some people, when they discipline, it's out of retaliation. Sometimes maybe a child does something to the parent, and the parent says, you're not getting the best of me, and it's immediate retaliation. But do you know, when God disciplines us, He disciplines us with a perfect discipline, and the motivation for His discipline is love. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. That's God's motivation. Why does God take the time to deal with you and me as His children? I'll tell you why. Because He loves us. He loves us more than anybody else. And yet sometimes we don't put discipline and love in the same circle, do we? I remember growing up one time, I told my dad, I said, you don't love me, you hate me. And it was all because I was experiencing some discipline. And you know, I thought that as a child, and if you're not careful, sometimes you'll think that as an adult. God brings about something in your life to get your attention, to get you on the right track, and you begin to doubt His motivation. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Now, there may be some of you, you say, oh, preacher, I'm just going to tell you, if somebody says harsh words to me and somebody disciplines me, I don't believe they love me. They do that because they hate me. You may feel that way, but you know what? Your feelings aren't always right. And neither are mine. Sometimes love motivates a person to tell you no. Sometimes love motivates somebody to tell you something very difficult. Well, I'll tell you, if there was ever a book in the Bible that I never would have wanted written to me, it was the book of 1 Corinthians. You think an evangelist in a revival meeting can preach hard? I'm going to tell you, Paul, for a number of chapters, about 16 if I'm not mistaken, he reared back, rolled up his sleeves, and I'm telling you, he delivered some hard news to the Corinthian church. How would you like it if a man stood up in front of you and said, "Now listen, you bunch of carnal people, some of you following after this one and following after that one, and some of you get really spiritual and say, I'm of Jesus." Paul said, "You're carnal. You're fleshly." You say, "That's not good." And then Paul comes around later in the book of 1 Corinthians. He says, "What are you doing? You're suing each other. You're taking these matters to court, and you're tarnishing the name of Christ. What are you doing?" And then he says, "And then you're fostering immorality in this church where here you have a man who's in a relationship where he ought not to be in it, and you folks aren't doing anything about it." I'm telling you, if there's ever a preacher that was ripping and snorting, it was Paul. And you know what happened at the end of that epistle? Verse 24 of chapter 16, he said, "My love be with you all in Christ Jesus." If I could just say it this way, Paul said, "Listen, I know I've been hard, but I want you to know something. I love you." And if you're in here and you say, "Well, I'll tell you what, I don't think God loves me. These things have come into my life. I know I'm not living hell as I ought, and I've just had these things come in. I know God's trying to get my attention, but He doesn't love me." Listen to me. If that's you, I'm going to tell you to just stop something. And here it is. You stop listening to the devil and you start listening to the Bible. What was the motivation? Boy, the faithfulness of God. The motivation was love. But you also see in verse 6, not only his motivation of discipline, but you see his method. It says, "He chasteneth every son whom he receiveth." Two different concepts that are used. You say, is there a great difference? I think there very well could be. The difference may be in severity. Sometimes some acts call for a general act of discipline, something that's not as severe. And then there's other times when you talk about the word scourging, I personally believe it's giving an idea of severity. You remember how you were raised? There were times your mom could look at you and it didn't take a spanking. All it took was the eye. Remember that? You're cutting up when they're doing communion in church or the Lord's table. You're sitting there giggling and laughing, and she looks at you. And all of a sudden, the fear of God possesses you, and you stop. That's chastening. But it may be that you needed to be taken out afterwards because you still weren't listening, and they decided they were going to get your attention. Now, that's scourging. And God knows how much to apply and when to apply. And the faithful truth is God disciplines us out of love. And God knows exactly how much pressure to apply to get our attention. So number one, we see a forgotten truth. Number two, we see a fearful truth, or a faithful truth. Number three, I want you to see a fearful truth, verse number 7. "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" He says, endure chastening. You know why? Because that chastening process is not pleasant. It's something that we must endure. I wonder if I'm talking to some here. And you say, "I know that there are some things in my life." Now let me stop for just a moment. I want to make a disclaimer. If you've had something bad happen in your life, I'm not saying that if you have sickness or you have heartache that that's necessarily God's chastening hand. I am not God, and I certainly am not going to be like Job's friends and try to assign every aspect of your life. But I've been around the block enough to know personally that there are times that events come into our lives and God uses them to get our attention. There's no doubt about it. times when we have made wrong decisions and we have paid for the consequences of those decisions, and we have to endure them. But verse number 8 to me is what is a very fearful thing. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And that's a pretty stout word that's used in this Bible passage that even in our society we don't hear on a normal basis. And I believe that kind of language leads us to a very sobering conclusion. And here it is, ladies and gentlemen. If you're in this room and you've never experienced the chastening hand of God, you have absolutely no fear. You say, "Preacher, I do wrong. It never bothers me." You say, "Preacher, it's really something. I mean, God just does not deal with me at all in this manner as a child." Then verse 8 makes it very clear. If that's you, here it is, then you're not a son. Now, there's a lot of fearful things that a person could encounter in life. Maybe to be in the midst of a major city at 12 midnight with no police reinforcement around you, you say that'd be a fearful thing. Maybe to be right now with the coronavirus running in China, you'd say, "Boy, being in China, that would be a fearful thing." Let me tell you something worse than that, and that's to be in the Andrews Memorial Baptist Church auditorium this morning and not be a child of God and be unconcerned about it. You say, "Well, God's never treated me as if I'm one of His children." Well, here's the reason why: because you've never been born again. That's a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing to be away from God. It's a fearful thing to not be a child of God. I want to ask you, do you remember the day, do you remember the time where you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You became a child of God, and as a result, you sit in the pew this morning and you say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm a child of God." If you can't say that with confidence in your heart, then listen to me. God wants you to come to Him. And then when you become His child, He'll be to you a father like you've never known. So number one, we see a forgotten truth. Number two, we see a faithful truth. Number three, we see a fearful truth. But last of all, I want you to see a fruitful truth. What happens when God disciplines us? What is God trying to bring about? Do you think God just likes seeing us cry? I know of some people, they were raised in abusive homes, and they would tell you, they'd say, "I'll tell you, the only reason my dad did what he did was because he wanted to see us cry." And that very well could have been the case. But you know what? That's not why God disciplines. First of all, God's never abusive. But number two, when He does discipline, He doesn't do it just to watch you weep. He has a reason. I remember as a kid growing up, I'd do something, just for lack of a better word, was stupid. And he'd look at me and he'd say, "Boy, why'd you do that?" And I said, "I don't know." Well, I'm going to tell you, when God disciplines us, He doesn't look down and say, "I don't know why I did that." No, He's bringing about something in your life. You say, "What is that?" Verse 9. "Furthermore, when we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, we gave them reverence. Shall we much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" Now stop. I want you to see something. I love this about the Bible. Sometimes the writer just stops for a moment and appeals to something that we can all relate to. And I like that. It helps me. Basically, the writer of Hebrews is saying, "Don't you remember when you were a youngin' and when mom and dad gave you the eye and you straightened up?" Hey, there's some people today, they're running from God. But yet, when they were kids, they remember. They remember whenever mom gave them the eye in church or wherever dad said, "Listen, if you're not careful, we're going to take you home to see Mr. Brown." And you knew that that was code language for being punished. You remember the fear it put in you, and I mean, you respected your physical parents. And yet you find yourself today not submitting yourself to God Himself. Listen, if you gave reverence to your parents, surely you ought to give reverence to God and you ought to recognize what He's doing in your life. But then notice with me verse number 10, for then verily, they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But He, here it is, speaking of God, for our profit that we might be partakers in of His holiness. You know why God brings about His chastening hand? It's to purify us. It's to make us holy. Some of you this morning, you say, I know I'm not where I need to be. And you sense God's hand nudging you. And right now, it's a gentle nudge. But if you keep running from God, then it becomes worse. What is God trying to do? He's trying to separate you for Himself. Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, nevertheless afterward. Here it is, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know, some of the most tumultuous times of my life were spent running from God. I'm talking about like Jonah, when God says, I want you to go that way, and you say, no, I'm going that way. Some of the most tumultuous times of my life have been when I've rejected God's clear direction and I've chosen my own way. But you know what happens when God disciplines you? When God just takes you, so to speak, and grabs your head and says, look at me, son, I'm trying to tell you something. Do you know what? When you yield to Him, it doesn't give you turmoil. It doesn't give you unrest. The Bible says that it will give you peace, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. For the child of God, listen, there's only one way for you to have peace or to have that peaceable fruit of righteousness, and that's simply to let God have His way in your heart. You say, I just don't know about that, preacher. All right, you go ahead and have your own way, but the Bible says about your way, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. So why not, instead of going in your stubbornness, take God at His word and swallow your pride and yield yourself to God? Because God's giving you that discipline as a child. He's trying to direct you. He's trying to get you to the right spot. Instead of fighting Him, yield to Him. The only thing you have to gain is peace. Isn't that a great thing? You know, one of the worst mistakes I ever made in my childhood was making light of my father's discipline. Treating it as if it wasn't much to it. Laughing at it. Did you ever do that? You ever heard a child say, didn't hurt? Sometimes it did hurt, but they just didn't want to admit it. Some of the worst mistakes I made in my childhood all related when I despised my dad's discipline or I made light of it. And a far greater mistake is made when we sit in an auditorium like this and we make light of God's discipline. Has God ever gotten your attention? Has God ever given you a whooping? King David made a bad mistake in 1 Chronicles. He decided he was going to number the people. You say, what's wrong with numbering the people? I mean, after all, if you're going to a battle, it's probably a good thing to know how many people you've got, count how many people they've got, and then you know that you're going to win the battle. Well, the problem is when you're leading the Lord's army, your confidence can't be in numbers. They have to be in God. And God had given explicit orders, don't count the number. Numbers deceive you. Ask Israel, when they went to Ai, they should have wiped them up and they came back defeated. Why? Their trust wasn't in God. They had disobeyed God. Achan had disobeyed God expressly. So God had commanded Israel to not number the nation of Israel. David decides to do it anyway. And after that happens, God says, David, you did wrong. And He said, I'm going to punish you. And you know what He did? He gave David three choices. Did God know how to get David's attention? David heard these three options from God. God said, number one, David, I can give 3 years of famine. The second option, David, is I can give 3 months of devastation by your enemies, where your enemies come in for 3 months and ravage you. Or I can give you 3 days of pestilence. Instead of choosing 3 years and 3 months, David chose 3 days, but he watched an unprecedented number of people killed in 3 days. I'd say God got David's attention. David brought it upon himself, and God gave him those options, but it was a day David would never forget. And it was a mistake that David, I don't believe, ever repeated. God knew how to get David's attention, and God knows how to get ours. My friend, if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, but you know you're not where you need to be, listen to me. God can give a whooping. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And my friend, if you're here this morning and you say, it doesn't bother me at all to do wrong, I've never had a problem with God disciplining me, it's because you're outside the family of God. And this morning, God Almighty gives you an invitation to become one of His children by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's bow our heads together in prayer.